Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It's 1:34 at Edmonton Royal Pizza. Pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. Royal Pizza is offering curbside pickup and takeout options for a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations. Go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation is the Mediterranean Chicken. Back at the 630 CHED studio, Brendan Escott. Brendan, I'm going to put you on the spot here, and we'll work on getting our guest in a few minutes here. But
he's on, ready to rock.
We got George then. There we go. Nice work. Then I'm going to bring George into the list. We welcome back to the show Edmonton sporting icon, one of the most popular players to ever wear the Oilers jersey, George Larocque. Hello, George. How are you?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good. Look, you're a positive energy guy. You're a fun guy, okay? But yeah. Not everybody can coexist in the same bubble and not go a little bit stir crazy after a while. I mean, I used to work up in remote work sites, and people used to get tired of me, George, after about 2 days. So, with all sincerity, can you have empathy for the position that these players are in? The guys in Dallas have been in Edmonton now for 2 months. They've been in the hotel. They've kind of been, cordoned off from everybody else. And I'm just wondering if it might affect some guys differently than other guys. What do you think?
I would not be able to do it. I'm honest with you. I drive everybody nuts. I'm too hyperactive to be staying in and not doing anything, not moving, not doing anything. Yep. I admire all the guys being professional, knowing what they have to do to play the game they love and to bring revenue to the league and to help out and stuff. And a lot of guys are opt out and they're playing right now. But, man, I could totally understand how hard it is not to see your family, your kids, not see anyone live in a hotel. You know, when you go on the road during the season in the NHL, often when you go there, the team is tighter. You know, a road trip, you get the guys together, and yes, then you do things, you go eat together. But at the end of a road trip, we're sick of one another, and we can't wait to go back home. And now they can't go anywhere. They have to stay there. So that's just insane. It's those guys, the troopers. And I know people at home, if you're listening to this, you don't understand. You can't compare. You can't analyze this and say, oh, it's nothing, at least they're in the NHL. They're human beings. And any human being, come find them in an environment that they can do things that they used to do before and see their family and their kids, and they feel like they're in a prison, you would feel depressed. The best example is Paul George that's playing the NBA. He said that he needs to see a psychiatrist because he was having depression. He had a hard time playing because he felt like he was in jail and he couldn't play. He couldn't play. He couldn't focus because it was so hard on him. And he was vocal about it. He talked about it. And there's many other athletes that are not talking about it that are sure affected by this.
Well, look at Tyler Seguin. He's a really good player. He's improved his two-way game. He's in shape, right? He's probably got an injury, and he is expected to score, and he's fighting it a bit. Well, it's not like you can get away and for, you know, I mean, you're stuck in kind of the same area. You're like, it must be, and he's got a reputation for being a guy that he's a spirited guy. Like, he's a guy like you, George. It's got some energy. That's got to be, like, especially when you're struggling and there's a weight of expectation that you're going to be a productive player. I have a lot of empathy for the position that a guy like that would be in, George.
Well, you know, I hope that, Bob, when the series is over, he's going to say that he was playing with an injury, because even though he might be affected because he's confined, when the Stanley Cup final, I don't know if you think about the confinement so much when you're that close of winning the Cup. There are things that happen that during the playoff, the further you go, the more you're like, oh, my God, I'm close to the ultimate prize. Yeah. He hasn't performed at all in the playoff, and now he could redeem himself in just one series. If he just starts scoring against Tampa, people will all forget about tougher the playoff that he had. So that's why I would think that he's hurt, because to me that's the only thing that would make sense, because once you're in the Stanley Cup final, there's many guys that forget that are hurt. Like, look at Stamkos. He shouldn't even play yesterday, and he played because he wanted to help his teammates. And obviously, he wasn't 100%. That's why he only played 2 minutes, 46. But he gave a boost to his team, and they won the game just with his presence. So that's why, if you look at all that, injuries in the Stanley Cup final, when you're that close to the trophy, you never know if you're going to be back in that position again. No, you can think of it. So that's why I think that for him, it has to be, because it doesn't make sense. He's got to be going through something really hard.
Yeah, you know what? They showed a highlight yesterday where he got the puck to the left of the net. He went to make a shot, and it got blocked by the defenseman. And it looked like he was favoring the left side of his body when he was attempting to make a play. Like, he just didn't look. He's such an athletic player that it didn't look natural. George, the funny thing is, there's another thing, and it happened to you guys back in the 06 run. Remember how sick your team got towards the end of the Anaheim series? Like, it.
Yeah, against the Anaheim series, what happened? We all had the flu. And then I remember before the game, half the team was on IV. And it was incredible. Half the team were on IV, and you look at that, you're like, you know, how are we going to stand a chance, right? We still won the game. And it was so embarrassing for Anaheim that when the media went to them, and they're like, because the media saw it, they knew. So they went to the coach, and like, what do you think about the fact that in the playoff you lost to a team that half of them won IV? And the coach was so embarrassed that he said it was a strategy. He said it wasn't true. We weren't sick, because he didn't want to admit that he knew that we're all on IV, because on his team, how bad does it look when you play a team, half the team is sick, and they still win the game? So it's just to let you know, like, how incredible this was and how much resilience our team has, because playoff hockey, you know, that was actually to go to the Stanley Cup final. And then we still won that way, so it was incredible.
What are guys doing in that situation? Like, when you have a bunch of guys sick, at that time, and I'm trying to think back in 2006, veterans didn't have, that didn't happen until 12-13. So you guys still had a lot of guys, two guys in a room. Like, would you just try to stay away from each other as much as possible? Or would you quarantine a guy that was really sick? Like, what would occur there?
It was impossible because, first of all, in the visiting dressing room in Anaheim, we're so close. You can't quarantine anyone because there's not much room, right? It's not like, you know, you're playing at home, you're on the road. So everything is limited. So, you know, what we did is, I remember Kenny Lowe, we each had our own water bottle, but that's it. Wow. You know, that's the only thing we did. So, you know, and then it was fine, you know, like, it took a couple of days and everybody was okay. But no, you're right. It was, nobody was panicking. You know, we played a game. We're sitting together. We're close to each other. And everything we did, we're together. And then, no, it didn't affect the rest of the team. But still, when you're talking about half the guys, that's quite a lot too, right?
And then you guys got like 8 or 9 days off. Would you have been better off with just 3 or 4 days off?
Well, the thing is that when you win and stuff, right, and in the playoffs, a lot of guys are hurt. So for some guys, it was good to have 9 days off. And for some other guys, it would be better to keep going. It depends on each body of everybody is different, because then when you don't stop playing, you have a short of a break. It's easy to stay to that same intensity. As if a team has a shorter period of they haven't played, they're more ready to go within gear right away. So, you know, and at that time, we had some guys that really played a lot of minutes. So I think in a way, it was an advantage. You could say that the way we started the series against Carolina when we were down 3-1, that maybe it wasn't an advantage, but the way that we came back after and stuff, yeah, maybe at that time, maybe it would have been better if we played right away.
We're joined right now by George Larocque, Montreal-based sports media personality. Of course, the former Edmonton Oiler, Bob Stauffer, with you on Oilers Now. George, have you heard anything out of Montreal about the Canadiens maybe being interested in Taylor Hall? Would that make sense for the Canadiens team?
It would make sense, because right now, what Montreal is doing so much is they're trying to find a winger to play in the top line. You know, Craig Button was talking about the Montreal Canadian lineup, saying that none of the players would make the top line on any NHL team. So, you know, I don't know if I agree with this 100%, but still, it's close to the truth. So, you know, now they're talking about Taylor Hall, but again, being realistic, they don't think as a free agent that he was signing Montreal, even though they're going to inquire about it, but I don't think he would sign in Montreal. So that's why right now, you know, we're talking about Patrick Laine, which is still on the table. We're wondering if the Jets will be able to move him. Even Stamkos, people are wondering if Tampa is going to get rid of him, because if you win the Cup pretty much without him, you could keep pretty much your entire team without a salary, and it helps you in the cap. It's 8.5 for the next 4 years. So, you know, Montreal needs a top right winger. So, you know, they've traded with Tampa before by, you know, trading Sergachev for the wing, which, well, obviously to the advantage of Tampa now. But maybe, you know, they could, because they're really going to be aggressive. You know, Manta, Anthony Manta, like you look at Laine, you look at Stamkos. There's not many guys that could be possibly in a market that Montreal could go for. And that's why, like, in this plan B would be unrestricted free agent like Taylor Hall. But I think at that time, if they go to plan B like this, he's probably going to go elsewhere. So that's why they're really aggressive. Montreal is aggressive to make a trade before the draft. Because comes to the draft often, most of the big key guys that all the team wants, they're stolen before the draft. Like, teams are going big move just before it. And Montreal right now, they have pressure of winning now, because the window for winning the Cup, because of Price and Weber, is 4 years. Within 4 years, Montreal Canadiens are going to try to win the Cup, because after that, Price and Weber, you know, they know that eventually, you know, they're going to get older, and then they might trade them, or, you know, their chance is going to be less and less after 4 years. So they're going to be really aggressive for this year to get a top scorer. And but we're all anxious to see what it's going to be, because Bergevin said he doesn't want to trade Kotkaniemi, he doesn't want to trade Suzuki, he doesn't want to trade Romanov, he doesn't want to trade, Price. So because of all that, if you're limited to what you want to give, you could be limited in what you're going to get in return also. But if you want something good in return, you got to give. So pressure is on him, because more than ever, Montreal this year, they have to not just make the playoffs, but they have to do really good, because I don't know what's going to happen with Bergevin's job.
What are they going to do with Max Domi?
I think they're going to trade him, because and I don't know why, because to me, Max Domi is a guy that brings so much poise and is a hard-nosed player to play against. He's a guy that I would want on my team. But because of cap reason, because I think they're going to have to give the money that Dano wants, and then they're going to have to give the money Petrie wants, they're going to have no choice, because they're not going to have enough room to have a top forward like they want to do. So I think they might have to use him and maybe trade him with their first pick overall to get somebody like a top right winger that he could play there. But it's very interesting to see, because some people are saying that Bergevin is trying to sign him. And if they do, then maybe they're going to trade Dano, because that's another discussion we've heard. Dano maybe wants too much money for what Bergevin wants. And if he trades them, so then you can keep Domi at center. So I think it's one or the other that they're going to keep. But, you know, because they're a small team, I would keep Domi, because he brings much more to this team.
Well, of course, he one-punched Ryan Kessler a few years ago. George, Leon Draisaitl won the Ted Lindsay Award, which is voted on by the players, and the Hart Memorial Trophy voted on by the media. Were you surprised that Leon won both of those awards?
Yes, I was surprised. I was not surprised by the heart, because what he's done in terms of ice time, you know, leading in the NHL and the team, 10 winning goals. This is remarkable. And to show that he could play without McDavid, it's remarkable. To give him the heart, and with the fact that the wingers that he's playing with and Connor wasn't there often and he was leader of that team, he deserved it. I thought that maybe the players would have voted for McKinnon, because McKinnon is faster. He's more explosive that the way that he is. And I wouldn't have given the heart to McKinnon, because he has better player around him. But I'm very happy, and it's deserving that he got it too. Because, you know, like, if somebody would have told me after McDavid got traded, got picked by Edmonton, that one day another player than McDavid would win the heart and then Lindsay, I would have never believed it. So it's quite ironic, the fact that with the year that McDavid got hurt, that the second best center in the NHL wins it all. So it shows you how great at death the Edmonton Oilers are, the top two best center in the NHL. And now it's awesome, because the team just have to find ways to surround them. The hardest thing for any team in the NHL is to find the two centers to be your core piece of your team. And now the Oilers has it. And thankfully also they're young. So, you know, they were able to, the fact that it hasn't worked in the past, you can still work in the future, so they can. But, you know, you can't wait too long. Because, you know, right now they're on their prime. They're in their prime. You got to take advantage of it. But surely what Leon has done last year is incredible. When I talked to David Tassin when he was doing power skating lesson to the guys, he said that Leon was, and actually Connor, were two of the hardest working guys. And you would think that guys like that don't work hard, but they always want to be faster and faster. And now all his work has paid off, and it's just incredible.
Awesome stuff, George. As always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on Oilers Night. You bet. Thanks a lot, George.
You're welcome, brother.
You bet. That's George LaRocque. 149 in Edmonton. you can text us at 780-496-0063. Oh, boy. We will get to some texts on our Ashley Fine Floor and text line and this day in Oilers history, and it involves one of George LaRocque's former teammates. You're listening to Oilers Now.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
All right, 151 in Edmonton. Let's go to our Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Bob, your rant at the end of the 130 segment, you're speaking to the choir. At a 10% tax, I was talking about tax, and some people think it's just an excuse for Canadian teams, but former defenseman Mark says, at a 10% tax differential, you're looking at a cap savings of $8 million+ for markets with no state tax. That is the equivalent of one upper echelon forward or defenseman. This is clearly an unfair advantage that aesthetic advantages can't outmatch. Looking forward to discussing this at length during the offseason. So here's the thing. Every team has a self-imposed cap. They have real dollars that they're going to spend on a team. So, you know, and you're also in a situation when you're trying to attract potential free agents, like you know, Steve Stamkos stayed in Florida, never went to the market. Part of it was perceived because of the tax advantages in Florida. Tampa Bay could actually pay less on a long-term extension than a team like Toronto would have to offer in order to procure his, to convince a guy like Stamkos, if he went to free agency, to go there. And you heard Brian Burke on Saturday night saying they needed to add $1 million to every offer that they made out there. This is a question I'm not sure of to answer, so I'm going to get Brendan to jump in here too. Bob, how good is Alex Galchenyuk? Is he defensive-minded? Would AA Galchenyuk and Neal make a good third line? Well, that this stage right now, Andreas Athanasiou needs to be qualified at $3 million. Now, I guess perhaps given that there's been a basically a cap reduction, the cap was projected to be $86 million, and it's flat at $81.5 million. Maybe you could go to Darren Ferris, who, besides representing Mitch Marner and Taylor Hall, also represents Andreas Athanasiou. Maybe you could get him to take a haircut. As for how good Galchenyuk is, I don't know. And I mean that. Like, I know he scored 31 year with Montreal, but he's bounced around enough that I think you're at the stage where you're not sure what he is. James Neal looked a lot better to me in the playoffs when he had his health. But, Brendan, do we know how good Galchenyuk is, the way he's bounced around the last couple of years?
I honestly think that we do at this point. He's played 418 games in the league, and I know we talk about 350 for defensemen being sort of the benchmark. That's almost halfway through a career for a lot of guys. So, and albeit he's only a minus 34, I know a lot of people have their own opinions about that stat. So I mean, I don't think he's a complete liability, but I think he needs to reevaluate his priorities if he wants to stick around in this league much longer. That's where I'm at with him.
He had 8 goals in 59 games last season between Pittsburgh and Minnesota. Like, he was in Pittsburgh, and when the Oilers went into Pittsburgh earlier in the year, he was a complete non-factor in that game. So he played, he was drafted in the 12th draft, third overall, coming off the injury. I know Jason Gregor was a guy that thought that the Oilers should consider taking Galchenyuk at number one, and Galchenyuk's had a better career than Neil Yakupov. He was injured in that 11-12 season, only played 2 regular season games, went back to junior in the lockout year in 12-13, was terrific. Then at the start of the year to Sarnia, and then played with the Canadiens in 12-13, had 27 points. Went from 9 to 13 to 20 to 30 goals, and then started regressing in 16-17. 17, 19, 19, and 8 goals last 4 years. I will say this. I think Galchenyuk will prove to be a decent buy, because I don't think he's going to get big money. To this day in Oilers history, and a former teammate, very popular player, just like George Laroque, involved in this day in Oilers history. Here's Brendan Escott.
Back in 2000, 24-year-old Ryan Smith signs a 3-year, $7.2 million contract. Already a 5-year veteran by that point, Smith responded with 31 goals and in a career-high 70-point season in 2000 and 2001. He earned some All-Star and Selke votes in that year as well.
All right, I just wanted to mention, because we didn't have a show yesterday, a special shout-out to our friends at Brent Ridge Ford in Wetaskiwin, 9-time President's Diamond Award winner. They'll take care of you. They got great service department as well. It is employee pricing at this time. Uncle Milt Rich, Johnny and the gang at BrentRidge.com, and you can reach them at 1-877-477-3673. I have to find something right now. What do we got coming up tomorrow, Brendan Escott, on Oilers Now? What does Reed Wilkins have tonight?
Okay, well, I can tell you for sure we have Elliot Friedman coming up tomorrow from NHL Hockey on Rogers for our friends at the River Cree Resort and Casino. We'll also hear from your broadcast partner, if I'm not mistaken, Jack Michaels, yes, from the Oilers Radio Network. As far as what Reed's got tonight, you... First of all, you'll hear from Bob Stauffer there, insider for the NHL on Sportsnet. Chris Johnston, a preview of the 91st running of the Canadian Derby on Sunday with Century Mile track announcer Shannon Sugar Doyle.
All right. I am missing some information that I received. So I will tell you, Jalen and I's got a terrific show coming up for you and a little bit of perspective on yesterday's throne announcement. Special thanks to our guests today. They included Brian Lawton, the former GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, the man who drafted both Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman, Brian Burke from NHL Hockey and Rogers and Sportsnet, George Laroque. Brendan, great job today. Up next, the global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell and the 6:30 Chet Afternoons with Jalen Nye. So long, everybody.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 6:30 Chet.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.